strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
time.
Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And it's a special show. It's an unusual show. We didn't have a game last weekend, and frankly, I'm a more relaxed and well-rounded person because of it, but I think there's still quite a bit to talk about.
Well, there always is, isn't there? Yeah, I failed to read a book or better myself in any way, but the thing is, though, the bye week isn't as valuable as it has been in previous years because it's no longer stressful to watch Richmond. It's sort of medium level enjoyable rather than a rollercoaster ride of sheer joy and utter devastation.
I know, and it does say something that right now Richmond are the clear premiership favourites sitting on top of the ladder, and you would describe the experience of following them as only being medium enjoyable.
Yeah, by the way, we're also clear favourites to win the VFL as well.
Yeah, good times. Although we only have the second favourite for the Brownlow.
Yeah, and in fairness, it's probably not a very well thought through. I think there's a lot of sentimental betting going on, Dusty. The current form line doesn't favour him. Doesn't place him as a clear favourite for the Brownlow. But yeah, he's a distant second, but he's certainly. I was just checking the, Nick, you know I love the AFL ratings as just a composite measure of...
As flawed as they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're very flawed, but if you're looking for one number to express a player's offensive output, it's the one that makes the most intuitive sense. And it's sort of, the reason I was sold on it was years ago, it well tracked the Trent Cotson's peak and then his decline and then his improvement again. And at the moment, we have 5 players in the top 30 in the AFL. Now, if you think about that, you know, there's 18 teams. So you really, even a good team should only have 2 to 3 players in the top 30. And we have 5. It's not just one player who's getting it done. And Dusty's no longer the best player in the AFL. He's in the top 10. But we have a very, by numerous measures, we have a very elite team.
I know. And so when you look at the premiership betting, we're $3.50. And the Swans, who we play this week, are sort of around $5. So, yeah, it's really... These are unprecedented days for anybody under the age of 50.
Yeah, but we don't get... we still don't get any respect. The Tinfoil Hat Brigade, which I'm a car cameraing member of... For some reason, we get no respect, and we're playing at Etihad. It was the AFL when they sat down and did the schedule in October or November. They sat down and they put last year's first versus fourth, and a team that was the biggest crowd drawing team of the year the year before. And the Swans always get good crowds in Sydney.
You know, in Melbourne, on that point, there's been a lot of discussion about how, AFL crowds this year. Have only been propped up by big increase in crowds in WA with their new stadium. Actually, that disguises a bigger story of AFL crowds are well down non-Richmond, and you know, to be fair, Collingwood as well. Crowds in Melbourne are well down, but ours are substantially increased.
Yeah, it's just... Can you imagine the AFL doing this to Collingwood after their premiership year? There's just something still that we just, despite all the metrics saying that we're a big club, we still don't get treated like it.
We still feel like an afterthought. Yeah. You know what you mean?
Mm.
And that, yeah, this, what should be a marquee matchup.
Well, it still is. It's just been played at the wrong ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll talk about it some more, but there's quite a bit of news. And I thought we'd sort of start with the most recent news first. But Alex Rent's contract extension. How do you feel?
Well, he's negotiating, and I guess the question is how much. But I wasn't that worried because, look, I know he's a different cat, and I know he's got strong religious beliefs, and good on him.
The word was he seriously contemplated walking away.
Yep. I appreciate all that, but, you know, you go around world sport, it is just so rare for someone in this day of high pay, when the pay's good, for someone still in their 20s and have only won one title to walk away. I was mildly worried, but I was never that worried that Alex Rance was going to walk away because there's just, it's so unprecedented.
Well, to be honest, I did have in the back of my mind with this whole diving nonsense that, you know, maybe that would be the thing that would drive him away from senior AFL football. So I was actually quite reassured by the noise that he's negotiating a contract extension, because the mere fact that he's entering into the extension says that he wants to play more.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he's mentally tough enough to last that long in the AFL in that position, he was probably tough enough to handle the little bit of booing and crappy decisions he got. But, yeah, fair enough. And I don't think he needed that validation, but he did get firmly backed in by the club about the diving issue. So, it's nice.
Dimmer's not been backwards in coming forwards on this issue, which I've been glad to see.
Yeah, he's... Well, Dimmer overall has been the most salty he's ever been after he won a premiership.
I know, and to be honest, I've quite enjoyed it.
Well, yeah, 90% yes. The thing, when he pretend lunged at the fan in Adelaide was probably...
Yeah, that wasn't a good look.
It was probably the, excuse the language, the dickiest thing he's done as head coach of Richmond.
For a while, yeah.
Well, I can't think of anything worse. Like, if you've got worse things Dimmer's done, probably hanging Jack out to dry when Jack made those silly comments in the media, and that. He's been coaching a long time. That's not a long list. Like,
are we not counting playing Steve Morrison in the forward pocket?
Yeah, well said. But, you know, Alex the Coxon has, you know, done worse things than that in a month. But he did. The saltiness also has its positivity, and he's come in hard behind his players a few times at the right times.
And look, I don't think, as painful as the media circus has been, I don't think a bit of us against the world is a bad thing in terms of motivating the team for a back-to-back.
Yeah, and also you have to remember when it's your team, you feel like it's the whole world's against you because it's the story of the day. And then when it's about another team, because you don't read all the stories, they feel like the whole world's against them. But actually, it's just this week's issue du jour. The GWS are now currently complaining about the focus Jeremy Cameron got, actually completely justifiable. But maybe if you read 50 stories about Jeremy Cameron, you feel like you're being under siege.
Yeah, true. I've got to say... You know, and I'm a little bit reluctant to say this out loud, but, you know, the Treloar hamstrings injury, Jeremy Cameron getting wiped out for 5 weeks, it does touch wood that, you know, you're looking very much not only how Richmond's going, but how prospective rivals are going. Things are breaking reasonably well for us.
Yeah, thus far that is true. I mean, there's still a long way to go. We're only halfway through the regular season. But getting Dion Prestia back and getting pretty close to a full-strength list, which we... And Asprey back as well, of course. You know, we're pretty close to full strength. Most of our droppings have got to do with form at the moment. The only differences from our premiership team have got to do with form at the moment. Just better players coming in.
Basher's still weak or two.
That's true. But Basher. But, I mean, Short's in the team because he's just played better. And, you know, our team's looking really good and we're now playing another genuine contender. Like, it's actually really exciting.
I know. I'm excited about this week. I'm We're about 30-point favourites for the Adelaide game at the MCG the week after. I'm really up for the whole putting them in the torture chamber again, I must say.
Yeah, I actually think if the Swans game is at the MCG, and the Swans do have a good record at the MCG, that we would win by... we'd win easily, and I think we'll beat them at Etihad too. But let's come back to that.
Mm.
Other news.
Well, it is extraordinary. So we are, as mentioned, on top of the ladder, premiership favourites, and we've had not one but two top 20 AFL draft picks walk away from football in the past 12 months, severely undermining our big man depth.
Yeah, essentially playing very close to the same position.
Yeah, so how do you feel about Sean Hampson?
Okay, so there's two stories of the Sean Hampson tale for me.
Hmm.
They're just...
Only two?
Yeah, well let's take him as a player first.
Hmm.
And what he meant and what he did to your version of football. Well, Nick, you know I love Ruckman. And
we, as a podcast, we are extremely pro-Ruckman.
And, you know, arguably, as a pure Ruckman... Hammer had, in the last sort of 15, 20 years, 2016, which was a disastrous season overall, we finished third in relative for and against hitouts. And, you know, we haven't finished that high for a long time. So,
they started recording hitout statistics in the mid-70s. How many of the top 10... high games for hitouts do you think Sean Hampson has?
For Richmond. Oh, maybe five?
Three.
Mm.
Believe it or not.
I shouldn't have gone high. It's an impressive stat, though, but I shouldn't have gone so high.
Toby Nankervis in the Melbourne game last year is literally the most hitouts in a game ever recorded by a Richmond player.
In fairness, he was, by the end of the game, wrecking against Jones, so...
Yeah, the Sean Hampson story, and we'll come to this a bit more talking about Rhys Conker as well. But it's the frustration of, you know, even being an AFL player is achieving a dream for so many people. But also when you look at Sean Hampson, he's 200 centimetres. And he can jump like anyone, and he's a good mark. Sometimes, you know, he's so physically gifted. You think, well, the sense that he hasn't realised that potential is frustrating. But then again, he's finished his career. He's played 98 senior AFL games, which is, you know, 98 more than most of us. Do you know what's really uniquely frustrating about his Richmond experience?
That he dated a supermodel?
Well, there is that as well. So he played his whole career at Richmond over 2014 to 16, and you know that one of my foundational beliefs is that individual players, pretty much this side of Dustin Martin, don't actually make that much difference to winning or losing. But for those 3 years, 2014 to 2016, when Sean Hampson played, we won about a third of our games. When he didn't play, we won two-thirds of our games.
Yeah, but I mean, that was... It's probably just luck that he happened to...
Yeah.
One season he had in the ones where he played 20 games. He only had one season where he played more than 11 games, and that was 2016, where we were awful. And
yeah,
we would have been.
Exactly. So it's mostly bad luck, but it still encapsulates the unique frustration of the Sean Hampson Richmond experience. Like, The 2 years before he came to Richmond, he was an elite contested mark in the AFL.
He was an elite contested mark. He had a few. He took a few contested marks in a couple of games, and then got injured a lot.
Yeah, and so that popped up in the stats. Well,
And yeah, by the way, a lot of those contested marks...
He was still clunking them, and then somehow he...
If you took out his marks against Jaden Post, he wouldn't have been ranked... Like, literally, I went through the numbers forensically. It was a very small...
It was all Jaden Post's fault.
Yeah. Pretty much. Like, it was a random... Like, it's a very low variance stat where one contestant, especially in those years, one contestant mark make a big difference. And he had a few good games, and that was it. Consistently in his AFL career when we recruited him, his best games for Carlton were as a first ruck. That was his best job. I'm not sure that recruiting him was that well conceived in the first place, because that's what he was good at, and we recruited him if he was in his prime.
Yeah,
and he did, to show that...
He did have the occasional moments of competence kicking for goal, which, again, sadly, he never demonstrated as a Richmond supporter. And it was...
But it was
a time in which two ruckmen were a thing, in which that
completely. I was going to talk about that it's sort of the interesting how... tactics change is that we were clearly trying to go to too tall strategy. That's why we recruited him, and you know, 2 or 3 years later, Dimmer was still talking about the need to potentially go to two ruckman, and then we won a premiership with one undersized workhorse ruckman.
You know, this year, West Coast top four team playing two genuine ruckman as well. So it's not cut and dry, but yeah.
Yeah, the difference was that Hammer was not... He wasn't... Aside from one or two flashes, you just couldn't play Ivy and Hammer in the same team because neither of them are competent forwards. They just weren't. They were both best as ruckman. And, you know, we worked that out, and he was okay in the 2016 season when Ivy was injured. But interestingly... So for the first time, we were top three. Like, as I mentioned before, we were top three in hitouts, and that year we came 12th in contested ball, clearances, and the year before and the year after we came within one or two of that ranking. So basically, it made no difference at all to having a dominant ruckman. Now, arguably, you could say that Hammer's hitouts made up for the fact that he wasn't so good round the when the ball was at the ground, and Nank and Ivy. They made up for it in other ways, and you got the same outcome. So they were all effective in their own way. But essentially, having a dominant ruckman made no difference to our clearance stats, which were mediocre in the year before Hammer was dominant, and the year after, which was, by the way, also a premiership year. So there you go. maybe ruck contests don't matter. We certainly have done. We as a club have done more than any other club in the AFL to reduce the contracts that a good duck ruckman gets.
Yeah. Agents, but second ruckman all over the AFL are cursing us.
But you do feel sorry because he's been ruled out of AFL by back, and that's not an injury. That's 200-centimetre bloke. That's a tough thing he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life.
And he's got a young family. Look, he got
probably
the chance
extremely good looking.
Extreme with his supermodel wife, so
and he's a pretty good looking guy himself.
You only go so far in the sympathy, but you know, at least he got to do a grand final parade. I mean,
it was emergency the grand final, as pointed out by Simon Wallace. I've forgotten that.
Having been an emergency in a grand final for low level suburban football, that was. Frustrating.
Oh, you got a lot of beers drinking for you. Didn't you win an award that year?
Yeah, best club win. Just
yeah, the coach is feeling guilty about dropping you award.
most rubbish player who turned up regularly.
Anyway, but yeah, so good luck to Hammer. I don't think he. I never thought when we recruited him about 6 months into his recruitment was the first time I started to fall out of love with Blair Hartley and Dan Richardson, because you recall the three trades before then
Sean Greig, Bashir Hooley, Ivan Marich. There was a
There was a run of gold.
There was a run of gold, yeah. The run of
and then in Hammer's first 2 years, he played 15 games and wasn't very good in either in those 15 games. But then, as I said, his 2016 year was his best year for Richmond, but yeah, he just had, he had rubbish timing that he played on a terrible team.
I know, and look, that theme about expectations versus reality and how that, how you judge a player because of that, I think that's quite relevant to our other topic for this week in Rhys Conker.
100th game?
100th game. And my what a 100 games that are accompanied by rather mixed feelings from supporters.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to have anything unique to say about Conker that I haven't said before.
Well, I think I've got one for you.
Oh, yeah?
So, Rhys Conker at 19 had a better season than Trent Cotchin at 19.
Okay.
He won about 2.5 disposals of games more, a tackle and a half. They kicked about the same number of goals. He was really genuinely good. I think we've done podcasts where we said, look, Dyson Heppel looks okay, but it's going to be fine. We've got Rhys Conker. And at the time, we were justified in saying so. That was a long time ago.
It's true. I mean, I never liked his kicking. I'm not going to say that. Like, right now, so he's been the fittest he's ever been. He's playing decently. He's the best runner of football, and he's currently the 406th ranked player in the AFL offensively. And he's got a downward arrow on his performance. So, you know, he's turned into, as you've said before, at best a depth player. So I'm not going to say that I knew that was going to, he's going to be roll. Of course, I hoped for a bigger upside, but I've never liked the way he's not been strong through the hips, and his kicking has troubled me, but he's got to 100 games and he's had to work hard for it. I'm sorry, went in the negative with him, but actually, you know, he got to 100, and when he's cracking in and tackling hard, I can, like, there are games where he's really bringing the physical pressure, and I can live with him in the seniors.
He does work hard, and he does cover a lot of ground, which I think...
Yep, absolutely.
I think that's a big thing in distinguishing...
Oh, it's why he's in the team.
Yeah, and the relative to Anthony Miles, and I'm sure that has been a long and active source of conversation for selection. And yeah,
I think he's a round peg in a round hole, and he also, because he can play numerous positions at a mediocre level, he makes the coaches feel like he's got flexibility. Because if to play Anthony Miles, you've probably got to shift the whiteboard more than they really want to. Whereas Conker fits into what they want to do without having to think too much.
Well, we mentioned about how, you know, Bashir Hooley's, look, I think we'd both love for Townsend to come back into the team, but Bashir Hooley is clearly the only best 22 player who's out of the team. Probably Higgins is the one most likely to go, but is Conker next?
No, and it's a good question. He does seem like best 22. You do notice that if a player, and it's not just Conker, but if a player misses a bad kick or two and does it in consecutive weeks, you can see the other players stop giving it to him. You know, you're always thinking about kicking hierarchy, and you know, Dusty gets the ball running into a blind alley with three guys hanging off him because the players trust he'll do something good with it. You do see the reverse a bit too, and it doesn't.
And actually, you mentioned Dusty, but how much confidence do people have in Jaden Short these days?
A lot, because he's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, he's actually he's probably and he's best 22 now. Conker. I don't actually think that's particularly good. I think they could have done it in a different way, but the way they've structured, that's that's the reality.
I mentioned before about how, you know, Sean Hampson, God bless his soul, finishes his career with during an otherwise generally successful era, with a terrible win-loss record. I do have some stats you might like.
Sure, far away.
So, among Richmond players who played 25 games or more, Dion Prestia has the best win-loss record ever.
Wow, that is a good stat.
Among Richmond players who played 20 or more games, Nathan Broad has the best record ever.
25 and 20. Yeah. Okay, yep, yep, okay. Yeah,
like you literally have to go down to sort of 10 or 11 games and, you know, small sample size madness, but it really does show...
Timing is everything?
Yeah, timing. Well, both timing is everything, and what a glorious golden period it is, because when you look at the aggregate stats, like, nobody who played more games than Royce Hart has a better win-loss record than he does. Like, and I think that's one of the cases where correlation and causation line up. But
yeah, absolutely. In that case, yeah, absolutely. But in this case,
otherwise, all the above 100 games, all the best guys are from our early 1930s teams, which seem to be awesome.
Yeah, so, and we can't really analyse objectively because we don't know how much was correlation, how much was causation.
Well, look, they're beyond living memory, so you just don't have the same frame of reference. But it's a good reminder of just how special, magical, unexpected the current Richmond team is.
Yeah, and, you know, you can make a case, like, Dan Butler plays... There's a bit of scarcity value in what Dan Butler does. And, you know, when I was talking about Reece Collins being the 406th rated player, Dan Butler's 207 and Dion Prestia's 203. So they're, you know, they're twice as high on the list. Like, they're not uninfluential, and Dion does a lot of hard yards that allows other players to shine. You know, by the eye test, our midfield's much more functional when he's in it. So maybe there is a bit of correlation there too. Sorry, causation there too.
Yeah. I know. And look, we've discussed before, the signs at the moment of Richmond going well, having more intercept possessions than their opponents, more tackles inside 50, you know, we can take a little bit of, we're not particularly good at contested possession, not particularly good at stoppages.
No, we're 18th.
Yeah, when Dion Prestia is playing well, as he did in the magical last 6 weeks of last season, like, we're pretty close to breaking even on that.
And yeah, we suck much less in those statistics, yeah, which is important.
And we're still really good at all the other stuff, and that's all we need.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, it's rare for completely one-dimensional teams to win premierships, and without Dion, we do become a little bit one-dimensional, but with Dion, we become, as you say, we have a puncher's chance in contested ball. As we mentioned last week, we beat Geelong in the contested ball in the final last year. And Geelong were a very good contested ball team at the time. We could slug with the heavyweights. Now, we haven't been able to do that at all this year, probably partly because Dion has not played. That is the big change that's been in our midfield.
Well, on that note, do you want to talk about Sydney?
Sydney aren't a heavyweight puncher anymore either.
They're
a very good team, but they are no longer... But there is a reason why a lot of their big losses have come at the SCG is because they're no longer a tough contested ball team.
Not as tough.
No. They're not the Swans of old.
No. No, they are annoyingly good at bringing young players through, and that is... it's a source of some frustration, because you sort of, as some of their older stars have faded, they've brought some other guys through, like Oliver Florent, yeah, really good player, Jake Lloyd, who's in a sort of Jaden Short type contract dispute with the Swans because he's a good player and they don't have quite enough money to pay him at the moment. You know, Hanbury, Kennedy, Grundy, all still good. But yeah, guys like George Hewitt, you wouldn't think of. Franklin, of course, is still excellent. Callum Sinclair's had a really good year, and you'd think he's going to go to war with Nank since they used to be rivals in the Sydney Swans reserves. Like, they just don't stop Sydney. They are a frustratingly good. But I'm not scared of them.
No, and if you look at them, they're not dominant in any area, and
they are very good.
They are very good, and when Buddy's not all world, which he hasn't been for a little while now, he started incredibly, but now it has dropped off to a fumble. He had 7 shots at goal last week, so I don't want him to play him.
No.
But, you know, he's got the best matchup. Rance is probably the best, and I apologise for that, but Rance has probably historically been Buddy's nemesis. He's got the best matchup, and you take that away, the chances of a special performance away from Buddy out. They actually don't have that many genuine A graders.
No, and look, though, actually, one of the signs of things going well for us is Buddy roaming out onto centre wing to get disposals because he can't get them close to goal because, you know, he gets the ball on the wing, he turns around, and there's nobody that he's kicking to that I feel like has an advantage over their Richmond opponent.
So what will be interesting, like, we've recovered at, you know, our game against North Melbourne was, there's no reason why we should be bad at Docklands. Like, obviously, we maximise space.
We're fine at Docklands.
And limited sample size, admittedly. We don't play that very often, but...
No, Sydney plays there as often as we do, which is, again... And they've got a good... Thank you, AFL.
And they've got a good record there, but that's partly because most of the Dockland tenants are crap. So it's not like they've been beating sort of top four teams at Docklands. Yes, they've been flogging St Kilda and North Melbourne. So it's not the be all and end all. And so, you know, something that will really worry me at Docklands is if we were playing a dominant contested ball team that could really take us out the back of the woolshed, and they can't.
I wouldn't be happy playing Port Adelaide there right now.
No. I mean, someone like Ollie Wines is probably a bit of a beast on a smaller ground. But yeah, this might be hubristic, but I'm weirdly confident that we will get it done away from sort of the MCG, our spiritual homeland, which in some ways it's like a computer game where you get a +2 attack bonus when you're on the glowing green turf.
I know, and I'm annoyed that we're not playing there. I'll be a mess by tomorrow night, but I do...
Quietly confident?
The rational part of my brain thinks, yeah, well, look, I was sad about K-Mac getting dropped. As we talked about before, I think it was the right thing to do. You know, we've only got one major out of the team. We're favourites to win... it's all there.
But yeah, what do you think about the
I'll be a mess by tomorrow.
What do you think about the 9.5 point spread?
I don't feel like it takes into account quite the difference in grounds, and maybe there's a reason for that. But yeah, I'm pretty nervous. I could well be my, you know, footy tipping competition that I'm in. Yeah, I'm normally really good. In the past year and a half, I've been hopeless because I just haven't been able to recalibrate emotionally with Richmond being good.
Nick, just before we go, Norm Smith medal betting.
as you do talk about Norm Smith betting in June.
Yes. By the way, I've never bet on the Norm Smith in my life, and gambling is bad, don't do it, but it's interesting statistically to think about. Who do you think's the favourite?
Dusty?
Yeah, Dusty at 10. Dusty's at 10-1. Cochin's at 19-1. Not sure I like that. Josh Kennedy, 25-1. I don't know what Luke Parker's done, because Luke Parker is clearly better player than Josh Kennedy this year.
Yeah.
He's at 28-1, and Franklin's at 28 as well. Rance is at 26.
Where's Josh Kennedy?
That was the one I was going to. He's the value bet. He's at 60-1.
Ooh.
And Ken Lambert's at 67-1. Now, they're the two that... Yeah. You know, Josh Caddy, by many measures, is our second best player this year. You know, there's... and the All-Australian team currently has Rance, Dusty, and Caddy. They're the big three currently in... Oh, sorry, that's the... You know, the AFL rankings champion
best,
data.
Best 22, yeah.
Yeah, so, look, I don't know, Josh Caddy at 60-1 for the Norm Smith, it's looking bad. Oh, I'm going to be... we're going to regret this optimism at some stage.
These are strange and smug days. I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
Just a celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Come from where we?
Alex Rance.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Something fantastic, and we just got to keep riding away.
We're going to go to the premiership, Jack. Jack, you're going to be a premiership player.
Oh, mate, I'm playing trouble. The way they play the game.
So Tiger Land. A fighting field into in Tiger.
Richmond might get there first.
In any valley, you see us with a win. Risking head and skin. If we're behind them, never mind. We'll fight it, fight it. We're from Tiger Land. We never weep until the final siren's gone. Like the tiger of old, the storm and we're bold. For we're from Tiger, yellow and black. We're from Tigerland.
D. Martin, three votes.